T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the flagship station for your Boston Red Sox. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zuti. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Good morning. Welcome into a Week 6 edition of NFL Sunday. It is Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy taking up until 1 o'clock. That is when the Patriots will kick off with the Denver Broncos. Tommy Kern from NBC Sports Boston will join us at 10. But first, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
I have a question for you guys. I think maybe you can answer this for me. This could be for the people as well. Why are the Patriots playing today when they didn't play last week?
Oh, no. Come on. Come on, Kiefer. Let's go.
I don't know. You know they're different. Oh, is that right? What's the difference?
All right. So where do we begin? I feel like the quarterback is back.
I'm not being obtuse. I don't know the difference.
I feel like this is an after-school special, and I have to say, all right, boys and girls, come sit on the carpet. Right. I'm going to tell you about the 2 weeks that was.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Back in the day, here's how it started. Uh-huh. Okay. I will say this. I don't know.
I thought you were going to talk down to me like there was an obvious answer.
I just told you. Listen, when you think about the Patriots, right, and you think about the game that they got postponed last week, they were clearly upset from the Kansas City trip, right?
100% they were mad about how that was handled.
So that was what they were upset about. Then they had their week where they had a Gilmore test positive, so they had a shutdown. So that just added to their frustration.
Yeah.
So their biggest thing is, why are we going to go into Denver without our starting quarterback, without our best defensive player? We already let you do us dirty by playing on the Kansas City game where we flew out the same day.
Yeah.
You got to do us a solid here. Postpone this game for a week so we can get those guys back. And then now here's where we are.
I'm going to take a shot at it.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm up now.
All right, good.
Okay.
You hungover again?
No, actually, no.
First Sunday, Fortnite, I'm hungover.
All right, good. All right, so remove everything. Well, actually, keep it the way it is. I think the simplest answer is that they just know a lot more about it, and they're more comfortable with it. And then if you remove how crazy that week of the Chiefs was as an outlier, I honestly, God, feel like the Chiefs week was an outlier because all evidence goes to show that they're willing to push through, and teams and players and coaches are willing to push it through and play with their contract tracing, with their medical doctor's advice. They're okay with it. The Chiefs situation was completely a one-off, I think.
Yeah.
And so I removed that. But everything shows me that not only is the league willing to push it, they have the green light from the coaches and the players. That's evident. So you had more positive tests. All right, don't freak out. No, yeah. Stop freaking out, okay? Here's what we're going to do. Because when I heard it, I was like, all right, big deal. We already know the answer to what happens when, Keith, Wiggy. We know that now. So if I remove what happened with the Chiefs and that stupid locker room and flying on the same day and players getting agitated and irritated, I say the obvious answer is they're going to play.
Right,
like,
but
I just feel like they have to, plus they have more money, so I can't go with, oh, they just, hey, we're going to do you a solid. And
but
give,
what,
you,
but that's what they're doing, because, Rich, you asked the question, right?
Yeah.
There was no difference. They could have powered through on during the Kansas City week, right?
Well, but, so you mean after the Kansas City game? Because they were supposed to play Denver on Monday.
But prior to even moving the Kansas City game when Cam Newton test positive.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Sorry, Cam test positive. Nobody else test positive. Why do you have to then move the game?
And then they flew.
And then they fly to, right? They fly out the same day. Yeah. If they don't move the game and they kind of just, you know, go as is, then
do
I
you think.
Do
you think the weeks are different? Do you at all allow yourself to believe that they're separate and independent of each other? Like, that can be a possibility?
No, those
and that
are,
the, and that the, you think everything is connected.
I think,
like,
yeah,
you're a beautiful mind. In
yes.
Your
yes,
season,
yes,
you
Russell
have
Crowe.
All this yarn attached to thumbtacks, and it's all directing you to one thing. And
right.
What is it?
And that is
what is it, Doc?
Is
it a government issue? Like, what is it?
I think it was...
We're all being watched.
I think it was the NFL kind of doing the Patriots dirty in the sense of making them have to fly out the day of the game. Then they obviously have to fly back the same day of the game after the game's over.
Didn't give them bigger locker room space.
They were mad about that. Then Gilmore tests positive, so then the facility has to shut down. So then they don't get any practice. Then by the time Friday comes, Bill's already aggravated. And wait a second, I got to now.
And now Coward gets hurt. So they had one practice that week. Then Coward gets COVID.
Right.
But so what was weird to me, and I think that's why the Kansas City.
What do you think it is, Keith? Why do you think they're playing this game?
Well, I wonder if the league is just like, hey, we have no more bye dates, so you guys are kind of screwed. You kind of have to play now.
I think that's
part of it too.
I think they were not happy, but
they were able to reschedule so many games and force teams to switch weeks and bye weeks are gone. Everything else, they did all of this, but they're saying, listen, yeah, I think you're the home team. You guys have to play. Everybody else in the league is playing.
Right.
You have to play at this point because I think.
They said, and we did you a solid by postponing.
Probably, yeah. We're like, hey, listen, we helped you there.
Right.
Because I think if you're just talking about player safety, which is what Belichick's talked about, what Jason McCourty's talked about, which most of the guys that have gotten in front of a microphone have talked about the safety of it, I don't understand how. So 1 week you had three positives. It was like Friday, Wednesday, Saturday, or Sunday, right?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was the three first positives. And
that
then
was,
they
Cam,
so then
yep.
they delay that game. Now, this week, you have a couple of those guys come back. One of them still on there. Then James Ferentz goes on the COVID list. Then you have, now, these guys are on the list, meaning they may not have it. They just have super close contact.
Yeah.
Somebody did. Sony Michel, Shaq Mason, Derek Rivers. I don't know. There's more names on that list now than there was last week. And last week you didn't play. This week you are playing.
And I think what you're going to see moving forward, because the NFL put that new rule in place or the new protocol in place, that if you're in close contact with somebody who tested positive, isn't the new rule now you have to isolate for, they didn't really give specific amount of days, but you now have to isolate, probably go through one or two rounds of testing.
Yeah.
And I think what the NFL is doing now is you're going to start to see more guys be put on that list till they get a couple days of testing. You obviously know now the new rule is that if you have any symptoms in the sense of a cough, a runny nose, a sneeze, you instantly have to isolate what they did with Odell Beckham Jr.,
yeah.
right?
Melvin Gordon, too.
Melvin Gordon. If you have any little bit of a cold that could be, it doesn't even have to be COVID-related, but any cold, you have to isolate, a couple of rounds of testing. Once you prove that you're good to go, then you come back.
Go ahead.
No, thanks, Keith. Like, I actually think that it's a little bit what you said, Keith.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's nothing of what Wiggy said. zero.
Classic.
Because I don't think there's this like agenda to like do people favors. I think you start with this. Hey, okay, first off, okay, how can we play the games? All right. If we can't play the games, okay, what are these guys willing to put up with? It's unprecedented times, okay. Can they do this? Yeah, we can do it. Okay, it's gonna be crazy. Okay, we'll do it, we're in. Then I think if it kinda gets compounded with other issues, then you sit there and go, okay, maybe a little bit to Wiggy's. Hey, how can we do them a solid and push the line a little bit farther with the understanding that you can only do it once? Like, you can't have, you can't go back twice.
Right,
like,
so once, isn't that them doing a solid? So, Christian, why didn't they play?
Yeah, but not because they felt like they owed them.
Okay,
it's
so
only
why,
because they felt like they had like the window.
No, no, but
of
answer me this. Why didn't they play? And Rich asked this question. Why didn't they play last week against Denver? And they only had going into that. They only had one. They had Gilmore, who tested positive on Tuesday, right? So you know about him.
And then Cowart was the breaking point because they were going to play with one. Kind of one practice, one walkthrough, and then they're going to play on Monday.
Right, right. So
and then Cowart threw the whole thing out. Because it was right around this time last week that we found out game on Monday
right,
was wiped
out. When Cowart tested positive, they already could have had two practices in the books. But Bill decided on Friday.
Good point. Closed the facility
right,
Friday.
And then they had the practice on Saturday. So they could have had two practices in the book, and they would have been good to go. I asked you the question is, so then why didn't they play last week? It can't be just because Cowart tested positive.
No, I do think that a lot of it has to do with, one, I think the way the players were acting. One, the way Bill was responding. Two, and then I think the league probably said, okay, we have an we can delay this game. We can pause it. I think if they didn't have the ability to move the Chargers, move this, like completely blow up the Chargers schedule for the remaining of the season. If they didn't have that ability and the Patriots didn't have a bye and the Broncos didn't have that that window to play next week, then they probably would have played the game. I do believe they probably would have played the game.
But they did the pass is solid.
Yeah.
I think they're lucky that they had it.
If I ask both of you this question, right, let's say that – they don't fly out the day of the game. They still have the same situation. They just don't fly out the day of the game. And the locker room's not an issue in Kansas City. So, but they have Cowart who tested, was it him who tested positive? No. It was after Gilmore tested positive. So Cam tests positive. They have no issues. And then they fly out and do what they – you don't think they're playing the following weekend against Denver?
No, I don't. I think that if you – first of all, I think the more and I hate when I sound like one of these stupid doctors who always kind of leans on, well, we know more than we did yesterday.
We sure do, Christian.
It's evolving. And as it's a moving target. Uh-huh. You know, how many of those cliches can these doctors say? It's like they constantly protect themselves. I just feel like, you know, the situation for the Patriots allowed them. I think with all the things that were going on, I do think it was, okay, we can push it. Let's push it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's because at some point you do, if you have the opportunity, like I would even say the Tennessee Titans are separate. I mean, they just couldn't get out of their own way.
Right.
And if they had happened another week, what would they be doing?
And that shows me that the league did the Patriots a solid because the Titans played.
Well, indirectly they did. I mean, it's not like because they felt like they owed them something.
Yeah, and
you
I think
feel like everyone owed like the, yeah, like the league is like saying, oh, we need to.
No, the league said
pay forward.
The league said we screwed up your game against the Chiefs. We're going to make it up to you, and we know that you're upset, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to postpone this Denver game. That is then going to give you the
And they also liked how it looked. The NFL liked to be like, see, we care about player safety, even though they were playing the Titans game the next night, which is a very similar situation.
So why not postpone the Titans game if there was issues?
Because they couldn't.
Wouldn't you want to like keep that poker chip like in your pocket until you absolutely need it? I feel like all the teams have like one get out of jail free card poker chip that they can play at any certain time that allows them to just kind of, you know, I guess be more demanding and more aggressive with the league. Especially since, hey, this is what we're going through. You got to fix it because the league doesn't want to use that 18th, 19th buffer week and push the Super Bowl further. So they're going to listen. If we can avoid it, let's do it. You know, and so as of right now, as we speak now, everything's on course, on track for ending when it's supposed to end. And, you know, now we'll see what happens in the next couple
of
months.
And Bill knew what he was doing. Bill knew exactly what he was doing. He said, we already lost to Kansas City, and we had to play under those circumstances. Why am I going to put my team in another situation where we don't have our best offensive player? And we can potentially – and guess what? I just saw how the other two quarterbacks performed. You think I want them to play against Denver? Why not? Hey, league, you got to do me a solid here. Push this out another week. I get my quarterback back. Because you think he felt good going into Denver with Stidham and Hoyer as quarterback?
I don't know how you could. Right. After seeing those guys play.
So why not use your get out of free?
A week and a half of Zoom meetings wouldn't get him better?
but why not use your get out of jail free card and say, let's push that back. We get Cam back. And now we're able to beat
them. Could. I bet one thing, too, that the league had to discuss with the Patriots when they decided to delay last week's game was, all right, you guys know that if you have a positive test or two during the week, you can still play, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that was probably their concern is you can't just delay every game that you have a positive test. Otherwise, you might play eight games. Look at these other teams. They've done it. You know, the Atlanta Falcons,
right.
Their first round pick had it. They played a couple weeks later. He was back. And, you know, there's been false positives, obviously, that we've heard about. But other teams have sort of have had to deal with it. But the way the Patriots reacted last week, I had my doubts that if they got another test, whether they'd play. So when I heard, about James Ferentz, you're like, oh boy, here we go.
Right.
They're gonna delay this thing. But nope.
Yeah. See, I did. It's funny because I don't know. Maybe I'm just tougher than you guys. I guess that's got to be
probably
what
true.
It is.
Yeah,
you know
that's what? Definitely what it is.
That's it.
You've heard of Ford tough. I'm Corona tough. now, like Dan Mullen, I'll get it, and then I'll be shut the whole place down.
He's crying. He's going to take a month off of work.
Right? Have you realized, like, most of the people who brag and kind of, like, spit in the face
of
COVID
end don't up talk
COVID?
About it.
Get
yeah.
it.
Don't talk about it. You're definitely going to.
Dan Mullins, let's pack the stadium. This Corona is not real.
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like it is I didn't flinch because I just felt like they've already kind of, I guess, developed better protocol and a better understanding. Like, nobody is going to get an easy way through this thing. Like, nobody gets it. I don't feel like anybody is gets an easier time than the other guy. It's like, indirectly, I keep using the Chargers because, holy crap, if anyone has – a gripe, it should be them.
Don't you think the league is at the point now, because I especially – with this, like, where we are right now, we've seen we've seen a handful of guys all over the league have to be quarantined, isolated, put on that COVID list. I think the league is at the point now where if you get 3, 4, 5 guys that test positive on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday, we're still going to play.
Yeah.
I think that's where the league is.
Yeah. Where the Jaguars
wasn't it?
You saw that with the Patriots. When Cam Newton tested positive, it was this whole big thing. Should they postpone the game? Should they not play the game? Now, they ultimately did play the game, but there was this whole big dog and pony show. And then the following week, when Gilmore tests positive, and then Kyle would test positive on a Saturday, they postponed the game. So the league wasn't at the point of, well, if you have 2 or 3 guys, we're just moving forward, where I feel like now – The NFL is basically saying to the teams, like, if you have 2 or 3 guys, you're still playing on Sunday, even if those guys test on Saturday. But if we get another round of tests, on Sunday, and everybody's good, you're playing.
I mean, that's what – and the Patriots have been one of the teams that have been most affected already by the whole thing. I mean, you think about even the Chiefs game was supposed to be a Sunday game, right? Mm-hmm. That gets bumped to Monday. And then the next week game goes from Sunday to Monday to canceled into the following Sunday. There goes their bye week. And you're right, the Broncos got to be – and again, it's pro sports. Nobody's going to feel bad for anybody. But the Broncos have done nothing wrong to this point.
And got their bye week taken away from them.
Bye week's gone. Now they got to come in here and play on Sunday. I mean, I guess the good news is it's not a Monday or a Tuesday, and then it's another short week for them. But – they got screwed in all this.
Yeah, that's kind of, what I was thinking. I was like, all right, wonder, you talk about the Patriots having some pull. I mean, maybe, trying to back channel their way to get what they want, so they can get their quarterback Wiggy and all that other stuff. But I wonder if I'm the Broncos, to your point, I'm saying, listen, maybe, league says we got to push this to Monday. No, we can't push this to Monday.
Yeah,
that
it's
means
not happening.
I'm the Broncos. I got to play. I get back late. Monday night, Tuesday morning, and then I have the Chiefs on Sunday. So what, are we going to push the Chiefs game to Monday so we get an extra day of rest? So, man, I tell you what, if you can reset with all the chaos going on, you probably feel really good about yourself. Like, every single week is like, all right, what are we going to have to navigate now? Like, how are we going to fix this? Like, last week we were joking about that one scene in Airplane when all the guys, aircraft traffic controllers, were smoking cigarettes and, like, freaking out.
Uh-huh.
That's the basement room of the schedulers for the NFL.
I don't think they have much room to do anything more, because you're going to start to – for some reason, I don't know what's going on, but doesn't it seem like all of a sudden – there are more and more guys, I don't want to say necessarily testing positive for corona all of a sudden. But now it seems like, you know, every you know, couple of days, somebody's getting put on the COVID list or being isolated. It just seems like there's a lot more going on now versus when they were in training camp and maybe like the first week or two of the season. It just seems like, is it me or does it seems like there's more players getting put on COVID lists or maybe testing positive? Not that it's a lot, but I would think like we saw.
It's a bunch. Yeah, it's a bunch.
Baseball, it went the opposite.
Baseball, they had like the two team outbreaks and like a couple of random guys, and then it pretty much shut down, and everybody was pretty much good. Guys weren't missing games because of it.
Right.
I don't want to do a whole COVID show.
Right.
I want to talk about the game and you know what's actually happening on the field. But I do want to go back Friday on Dale and Keefe. We had Jason McCourty on, and this was before the news broke about James Ferentz. But I was asking Jason, because obviously he was very outspoken the week before, just what would be the mindset of the team if another player tested positive, or if they had another week like they did the week before, where, you know, Wednesday you get a guy, Saturday you get a guy, you don't have as much practice time. Would the team and would he feel comfortable playing in the game on Sunday?
Man, I don't know. I really don't know. This thing has been really tough. It's been something that we've all had to kind of try to figure out, and we don't know. You know, we know somewhat about the virus, but we don't know what's the best way to move forward, and we don't know how contagious one guy is for the next person. If we're spaced out, if we're virtual, and we're only practicing, does that mean we're good or something? Like, we really don't know. So I think at this point, we're trying to move forward. Our plan is to play in this game on Sunday. We're hoping the testing and everything stays negative and we move forward that way. But I honestly couldn't give a realistic answer, because what I guess we've seen so far is that this thing quickly goes from a week-to-week basis of, all right, we're preparing for Denver, all right, we just played Kansas City, to the next thing you know, it's a day-by-day thing. And it's just like you're kind of waiting to see what comes back from one day of test results to the next day, and you go from there. So I think if that was to happen, we'd just have to figure out how we move forward.
Yeah, and again, maybe he had already known at that point, but it hadn't been public that Ferentz had it, and then Michelle, Mason, and Rivers would all end up on the reserve list as well. So I think like for a team, and it sounds like everybody has pointed out that Bill Belichick has done as much research as he can on it. He's trying to know everything he can on it. But because things do change and everything's a little bit different, right, depending on who gets it and who they've been around and everything else. I don't know if you guys heard, they were practicing with like those masks on, like the Oakley shields at practice. Like, I don't know if they're going to do it in the game, but they're clearly concerned about it. And that didn't sound like a guy that was we're just going to soldier through
and
play.
Doesn't it seem like I don't know if concern is the right word. It just seems like they don't know what it is going on. They don't really have, but nobody does, right? And if you opted in, you had to know that. Like, you had to know if you opted in, you were going to play, that there was a chance guys were going to test positive, was a chance you were going to test positive. Like, I think most guys went into that knowing that, hey, the league and the teams were going to do their best to keep guys safe in the sense of trying not to have this massive outbreak and guys are getting it. But you had to go into it knowing that I might get it.
Right.
Or some of my teammates might get it. And you know what? If they get it, we kind of see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then we continue to move forward. You can't just say, it almost seems like Jason's saying, well, if somebody gets it, we need to shut it down and figure out what's going on. Problem is, no one has information about that.
And now the league is kind of out of those dates where they can move things around.
Right.
You know, you're moving up teams' byes. You're changing those out to other teams. And then teams are starting to get their actual bye weeks coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so if something happens to them, that roster, that schedule flexibility is going to change as well. So they're going to try to keep pushing games in. The latest from Adam Schefter is all clear. No new positive tests today.
Okay.
Meaning games are a go. There was an outbreak on the practice squad with Jacksonville, but they're going to play. There was a bunch of false positives with the Colts earlier this week, but they're going to play. Actually, Jim Irsay had the news that, hey, all set, guys.
Right.
Like, all right, good. So it sounds like all the games scheduled today are going to happen. And there's, once again, a Monday Night Football doubleheader, by the way, too, which we'll get into today. But it's NFL Sunday. We will talk about the actual game coming up at 1 o'clock, the 2-2 Patriots against the 1-3 Broncos. Tom Curran will join us coming up at 10 o'clock. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots have placed three more players on the reserve COVID-19 list. Running back Sony Michel, offensive lineman Shaq Mason, and defensive end Derek Rivers. This comes one day after the team placed offensive lineman James Ferentz on the same list.
But they haven't necessarily tested positive.
Correct.
Right?
They said Ferentz has it. The other three are just on the list, which means either they were in close contact with him or with somebody else.
See, and I think that's the new protocol now. Right. Now, anytime you're in close contact with somebody, you got to go to this list.
I'm still confused by that, because wouldn't most of the team be in close contact with you? Like, anybody who's in your huddle, wouldn't they be on the list?
And when you go on this list, does that mean you can't play, or does that mean we're just waiting for you to get...
You probably need to either isolate or get your negative test or whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Byron Coward, of course, was on the list from earlier in the week. It is Patriots and Broncos today at 1 o'clock. Melvin Gordon is out for Denver. He had a DUI earlier in the week, but he is out due to an illness, not COVID-related. The Bruins extended Matt Grzelcyk to a four-year, $14.75 million contract. College football, BC got blown out by Virginia Tech 40-14. And the Tampa Bay Rays are going back to the World Series after they beat the Houston Astros in Game 7, 4-2. Meanwhile, the Dodgers forced a Game 7 against the Braves. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, it is week 6 in the NFL season, and it's game 5 for the Patriots to host the Denver Broncos today at 1 o'clock, despite the new COVID-positive test this week from James Ferentz and three players landing on the reserve COVID-19 list, Sony Michel, Shaq Mason, Derek Rivers. The game is a go for 1 o'clock today. This is Keith Fourier and Wiggy NFL Sunday. You can join us at 617-779-7937. Tom E. Kern will be on the show half hour from now from NBC Sports Boston. And guys, as for the game today, so COVID, to put that to the side, it's stupid to call any game, obviously, in week 6 a must win, but I'm not above stupid statements. Kind of a must win when you look at the state of the Denver Broncos, the remaining schedule of the Patriots, some of the other good teams in the AFC, not just the Bills, but other teams that are going to be fighting for the wild card spot. This and a home game, like, just not a game you can afford to lose.
No, this is one of those games, especially after the way you played against Kansas City, where you went to Kansas City the same day. We know everything they had to go through to get down there and be in a position where, you know, if your quarterbacks just play a little bit better, you have a chance to possibly win that football game. So I think that's the way that they have to look at this.
Yeah, it's funny. We've been looking at this team for 2 weeks now.
Right, I know. It feels like forever since the Patriots have played.
It's crazy. So they're in the best position right now. I know Melvin Gordon's not going to play. Mark Rippon would have been a disaster. Noah Fant's not going to play.
Mark Rippon would have been better.
That would have been, he might have been better. I know he's a little bit older, but.
Mark Rippon.
Brett Rippon.
Brett Rippon. Boise State grad. See, I remember that part. It's one of the things you remember with concussions. So, I agree with you. And I'm not sure if I'm curious to know how they're going to come out. Do they take the Buffalo Bills approach in regards to how the Bills went in and played Tennessee? Tennessee had all the issues. they had the chip on their shoulder. They felt like they had something to prove. Buffalo came in and just picked a really bad week to have a crappy game. I know Buffalo's better, in my opinion, than the Denver Broncos, but I just wonder how they approach this game, like their mindset. I mean, is it a woe is me, oh, you know what, you know, everybody's out to get us type of thing, or do they really try to, you know, make someone pay for what they had to go through? Like, because Vic Fangio is basically, he went out and he's saying, oh, you know, hey, listen, I want to know who the tough guys
no
are.
No cry babies.
I know the guys who are going to cry about it. Mm-hmm. And this is after one of his guys was like, we didn't do anything wrong. Why are we
after
being
one of his guys was crying baby like, about it. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I'm curious to know. Because the Patriots could literally have, like, just a disaster of a game. Mental errors. Mm-hmm. Like, we think that everything's going to turn out like the way the Tennessee Titans game played out. Perfect game. No turnovers. No penalties. Flawless. Right. Like, we think, hey, listen, look, you don't ever have to practice again. All right. That's one team, one time. Okay. If anyone could do it, I think the Patriots can do it. So, how this game goes, it's just kind of random to me. Because there's so many unknowns about just practicing. I know the Broncos have practiced like crazy. They almost did too many practices.
Might be too much. Right. They're losing their mind. Now, they also get their quarterback back.
Right.
Right, which is, again, I think if they could go back and redo it, they would. If it was Brett Rypien versus Stidham or Hoyer, I think they'd take their chances. So, yeah, you get Drew Lock, but now you also have to go up against Cam Newton.
Right.
Like, so, I mean, that's not really a fair
trade-off.
And
I think the Patriots are going, we're the better team.
Yeah.
We have our best defensive player and our best offensive player back. So, let's get this train back on the road.
And they, you know, I liked Denver coming into the season, but then guys just started dropping like flies.
Once,
you know,
Von Miller went down.
And then Cortland Sutton is not a huge name, but he's great. He was a Pro Bowl receiver last year, and he's out for the season. So they do have Jerry Jeudy, their first-round pick out of Alabama, but it's just a team. You throw the Melvin Gordon injury into there. They don't really have enough. But to Fourier's point, I bet they do come out pissed that they're in this situation, and they're going to blame the Patriots for it. But I don't know. At some point, you know, you need the talent to back that up. You can be as mad as you want, but if you don't have the guys that could do it, it may not matter.
It doesn't really matter. And if you have the Patriots, you got to be looking at it like, all right, this is a game we should win. We know we got the 49ers next week. That's going to be a little bit more challenging of a game, but it's another game that's still a winnable game. And then you got Buffalo in 2 weeks, and that's going to be a huge game. So these are one of these games where they got to go in with the mindset. And I think Bill will have them in the mindset of, you know what? I don't care what their record is, how they've been playing, and what's going on. We need to come out and make sure we're not turning the ball over, we're not making mistakes. And you know, if we do those things, then we should be able to win this football game.
We talked about how it feels like the Patriots haven't played in a while. It feels, obviously, even longer that Cam Newton has played. I mean, it's been almost a month. The last he played against the Raiders on September 27th, and here we are October 18th. We haven't seen Cam Newton. We know that, you know, he was able to return to practice this week. What do you expect out of him?
I expect for him, they just, you know, hit the ground running. You know, when you look at what they do with the offense, I think they're going to come out. They're going to try to establish the run. We're going to see some of that RPO, but they're going to want to run the football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always going to be, I think the timing with Cam is always going to be a little bit off, and with all quarterbacks this season because of the, you know, limited practices.
Right, right.
So I think you have to make the smart decisions and get the ball out and to the guys, you know, based on the routes and whatnot. You got to just try not to force balls in there. And I think if you can do that, you'll be fine.
So there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of talk about how good Cam Newton is and, you know, all the changes. And, wow, Josh has had a great impact on him. I don't know about you, but after three games, the guy looks exactly like he did in Carolina, like before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. You know what he can do. You know what he can't do. I mean, there are definite limitations to his game, and I think you saw a lot of that in that first quarter against the Las Vegas Raiders. He's not a real accurate passer. Can he be accurate? Sure. But on the whole, third down with receivers that can't really separate that well, good luck. Good luck. That's why in the end – so what is it? In the end, Cam Newton has to carry this team, whether by his arm or literally on his back. And I think that it's going to have more to do with him running the football than anything. That is the way, and especially if you can't get your traditional running game going. And I would tell you guys, their traditional running game is traditional. Pro set, eye backs, full back, right, obvious what they're doing.
Do you like Harris more than Michelle? Do you, either of you guys? I mean, I know it's only one game for
Harris. Yeah, it's hard to tell one game. I mean, he looked okay in one game. So, yeah. But Sony Michel looked good in that one game that he had.
He had the two big runs.
Yeah, yeah. So it's you know.
When Aren't you kind of the Harris thing is kind of interesting because
yes,
you're yeah. so I guess for me I'm so like irritated that Sony Michel isn't better. It's not like he's a crap back. He's a good back, but you just sit there and go.
No, the worst thing that happened to him was he was a first round pick. If he was a third round pick, you'd be like, hey, Michelle's not bad,
right?
But like these guys get graded completely on where they get drafted. Not their fault, but that's how they're always going to be viewed.
Oh, no, it kind of is their fault. Because
is it their fault?
Because if you
didn't take himself in the first round.
No, but you performed so well in college that the expectations on you, you shouldn't have performed that well in college, and now you can't perform like that in the NFL.
But, like, look at Philip Lindsay on the other side. He performed really well, as Fourier would know, went to his school, performed great. Didn't get drafted.
Yeah, but
small,
I think,
and then he's like a much better back than Michelle's been.
But I think that might be a little bit different because you know some guys. Philip Lindsay is smaller.
Yeah,
he's under the radar. Sony Michel went to Georgia, running back university. All the first round running backs that come out of there. So I think that's one of that. You know that plays into the draft. We can go. That's a different road.
Give me the last back out of Georgia that actually lived up to their expectations.
Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb. Yeah, Nick Chubb's doing good. Yeah.
Herschel Walker.
Terrell Davis.
Gurley
wasn't a first-round draft pick.
Olandis Gary.
Yeah, OG wasn't a first-round draft pick.
Oh, no, he wasn't.
But those guys were right in there. But if you look at, and I think with Sony Michel, and I remember him in college, I thought he's just not fitting what he was in college to what he is in the NFL. And like Christian said, is
younger Swift? No, he went in the second round, right?
Yeah,
he was early
like Christian
round.
Said, he's a solid back, but it's going to be. See, I think with this Patriots offense, especially Cam Newton, it is the running game and the running game from the running backs. If they can get 4, 5, 6 yards a carry and put the, I think that makes it easier for Cam Newton. But if they're Sony Michel's only running off or Damian Harris is getting 2 yards and it's 2nd and 8, that makes it harder on Cam because I don't want to see Cam run consistently, give him 4 or 5 carries, but I want him, putting himself in a position where he doesn't have to run, have 15 rushes a game.
What are your expectations for this Patriots-Broncos game? You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Also, we just saw Le'Veon Bell get cut from the Jets, go to the Kansas City Chiefs. Should the Patriots have been in on him, and what kind of upgrades can they make between now and the trade deadline, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks? Again, 617-779-7937. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEI.
It's NFL Sunday. Keith Fourier and Wiggy take it up till 1 o'clock. Patriots and Broncos will kick off at 1. Patriots feels like it's been forever since they've played. And since then, the Kansas City Chiefs, in my mind, just got a little bit better. The best team in the league, again, in my opinion, got even better as Le'Veon Bell got cut loose by the New York Jets, and Bell goes and signs with the Chiefs. Now, he may have, even if the Patriots were super interested, maybe he would have chose to go to Kansas City anyway. But do you guys think that the Patriots should have made a hard push for Bell?
I don't know about a hard push. If you can get him, you can get him. If not, it's not like... I don't think it's a because I think you have a solid backfield, right? If you're Le'Veon Bell, would you rather come to New England or go to Kansas City?
Probably Kansas City.
Because you're going to get more of an opportunity to play because it's only the rookie there. Here, it's like a solid backfield with Burkhead, White, the kid Harris, and then you don't know Sony Michel.
Right.
Why would you want to come here? And if you're the Patriots, you're not making a hard push. I think you have other positions that you need to push a little bit harder to maybe get some guys. But I'm not tripping about the Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted him to sign here, but they're not in the hard push business. They're in the I have no other options business. I'm desperate business. That's the business. Let me take advantage of your situation. Let me be opportunistic business. That's the Patriots when it comes to these types of players. I mean, you see it all the time. Unless it's like a really... really obvious need and a guy that they've been monitoring for a while. But, I mean, Cam Newton fell on their lap. he was desperate. He didn't have any other options. He needed to get signed right away. There was no competition for him. Easy. Le'Veon Bell, like that one, I actually don't even know if I really even trust the information about the Patriots being interested in him, because what I've come to understand is that they're interested in everybody.
Right.
They kick the tires on everybody.
That's true.
They bring in more guys to their stadium to work out than any other team. They're constantly funneling guys in and out. They're constantly monitoring them. So I'm not surprised that they were like, oh, what's that going to cost? Oh,
No. I'm with you on the, you know, for the most part, they're not in the hard push. You know, mm-hmm. they don't go nuts. But if you think about a couple of the receivers, you know, when Antonio Brown got himself away from the Raiders, I don't think every team in the league was necessarily like, oh, yeah, this guy will fit here just because of how he got out with mm-hmm. the Raiders and what happened there. And the Patriots didn't exactly sign him to the minimum. You know, they gave him a good chunk of change for 1 year when his stock was at his lowest. Even Josh Gordon, if I remember correctly, he was probably going to get cut, and then they jumped in there and traded something.
But I think that was more of a pressing need position.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I agree with you on that. This is not wide receiver or tight end. If there was a good tight end that was available and they just were like,
I'd
be more upset.
Yeah, I would be upset about this. This is not like a – like, I think when you look at this Patriots team and you brought up the trade deadline, I believe it's like November 3rd, right?
Yeah, so 2 weeks from Tuesday.
So when you look at this and you go, okay – where do they have pressing needs where you'd be like, all right, you need to make a move and go get somebody? I think it's the wide receiver position, the tight end position, and the defensive front position.
Yeah. Or I would even like an athletic linebacker.
Yeah, well, like your front seven.
Oh, front seven. Yeah, you know what?
Like if it's a guy that you could put on the edge, a 3-4 style linebacker, somebody to get after the quarterback to help with pass rush. Those are your three pressing, like, all right, if there is a guy that's available, hey, my guy is. I'm going to throw the name out there.
Who's your guy?
Yeah, I know you love names. I heard you guys talk about him. Dale and Keith.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas. Right?
Why not Michael Thomas?
Why not? Already he's having issues in New Orleans.
Yes, he is.
Right?
Screaming at Sean Payton.
Him and Drew Brees, they're not on the same page because Drew Brees is all about the whole kneeling statement.
That still rents
some space in Michael Thomas's head.
All right, I like that.
And when you think about the whole, they suspended him because he got into an altercation with one of his teammates, it's like, really?
Yeah, it was this scrub corner was talking trash to him.
Yeah, I'm your best player and you're going to suspend me because I get, you know, we throw hands a little bit. That happens all the time.
Called him slant boy.
Right.
That's got to be the most heinous insult.
Yes. That would be like if I was a tight end, you call me flat boy.
Because
all you running is flat routes and all Michael Thomas is running slant routes.
To me, it was such a weak, it's like, hey, calling like a really attractive person. Hey, you're so hot. You stupid. Well, thank you. That's how I make my money.
He caught 150 slants last year. It's not bad.
Yeah. Why was he so upset about that?
It's like, I don't know.
Filtering for sarcasm? No.
But you don't see that thing falling apart there, though?
Oh, I do. I think that... You can hear Michael Thomas in there leading the charge. I like that one. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. These receivers get traded all the time. You got the money. And he's also one where it's not just for the here and now. Now, he costs a lot of money.
It's all right.
Costs a ton of money.
That's all right. He's worth every penny.
I think it doesn't really matter.
Well, I also think that you really, when it comes to Michael Thomas, I do think you need to throw in the relationship aspect between Peyton and Bill. I always feel like those guys, you know, it's like Jimmy G to San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, just pick up the phone, call them, and there's no anticipation. There's no, like, real, okay, well, why am I so lucky? Maybe there's something wrong with this. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't do that. You don't think through that stuff because, you know, it's like, this is a really good opportunity. Something must be wrong with them. It's like a buyer beware type of situation.
Right.
But no, it's Sean Payton. Dude, the guy's not working. No. Will you take him?
It's like Urban Meyer gave Bill the advice on all his Florida guys. Right. He took all of them.
Right.
Yep.
What would be a fair trade for Michael Thomas? What would you have to give up?
He's a first-round pick.
Yeah, I would give up a first-round pick.
Oh, easy.
First-round pick.
I got no problem.
You
want a first and a second? I'd be like to New Orleans.
Well,
you tell me what you want.
So I think a lot is left on his contract.
Yeah, he just signed one for last year. But he's still young. He's only, what, 26 years old or something like that? I would give up a first and a second.
Yeah, I think it might be a first and a second.
I got no problem with that.
Because what did Odell Beckham go for? A first, a third, and Jabril Peppers?
Yes.
Something like that. And he was actually coming off an injury.
Right.
So, well, I mean, Thomas has been hurt this year, but last year he set, you know, all kinds of records. So, I mean, it might be What if they said, hey, we want either Juwan Williams or Kyle Duggar and a first-round pick?
You got it.
Yep.
Here you go.
Take it. It's yours.
Because I know Michael Thomas is a proven commodity. I know what I'm getting from him.
Yeah,
right?
I'm with you.
I nothing against Juwan Williams and Duggar. These guys are all projection guys. Well, Michael Thomas, I got no problem giving up a first round. I'll give up two first rounders. You want one this year or next year?
We're speaking the same language. John, wasn't it on Friday where Fitzy said he wouldn't trade Juwan Williams for Michael Thomas?
No, he did.
Yes, he did. That was a real thing. Didn't. Yes, he said
that. That's not real. That's not real. You heard him wrong.
He's like, well, I wouldn't want to give up him. I'm like, well, you're getting Michael Thomas.
Right.
Yeah, he's 27.
Okay.
He is signed through 2024, it looks like. But looks like there's an out after 2022.
So you got him. You got him for, because if you're the Patriots, right, you got to be looking at, if I mean, obviously you're looking at this year, but what do you think Bill Belichick's, like, short term to medium term to long term? You got to be thinking, we got a quarterback. We got to tie him up for another 3-4 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then that 3-4 year window gives me the time where I can get us back to winning a Super Bowl. And if I can get a piece like Michael Thomas that I know is going to be here for the next 3 years, 4 years.
I'm with you.
Aren't you in a good position?
Yes.
Isn't that how Bill should be looking at it?
Yes, it is. So
you guys are lockstep. You guys are in lockstep with your with your flashy wide receivers that
every
you feel drives it. I'm just curious who's going to throw in the ball.
Cam.
Okay. Yeah, well, then Cam stays then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I personally don't think...
No, we're going to get Matt Ryan, right, John?
Are we
John
talking about... Oh, no.
Yeah, I personally...
Bring him in.
I personally...
Well, Pat's Cap wants to go, thinks I should write a column about them getting Russell Wilson.
Hey,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
This is the first time I've been on the show with you. Listen, I agree with a lot of
Thank
your take.
You.
I don't think he's elite, but I don't think Cam Newton is going to be... And you listen, y'all know I love Cam to death, but I don't think Cam's going to be the quarterback next year because I can't see Bill paying him $30-plus million a year.
It can't be still.
Yeah, here's the crazy thing. It's like he hasn't played in he's only played 3 games and the shine, in my opinion, has worn off.
On who?
It's on Cam.
What do you
it's worn
mean?
Off.
That's
like
he didn't play last week.
I know, but there's so many people that are so overreacting.
No, it's not Christian.
He's no different than he was when he was in Carolina.
His stock has risen more than when he more because he didn't play.
Let's talk about Cam Newton's stock coming up. And you would still pay him $1 million.
Well, that's also true. We'll talk about Cam's stock with Tom E. Kern, who will join us coming up next. You're listening to NFL Sunday, and it's brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com. By Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.